Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny Fry, Ryan Wiggins, Brad Ring.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
What do you want from me? I'm not American, sweetheart.
For the sake, kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not American, sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, we're done with Thanksgiving. Can you believe that? We are already done with Thanksgiving. And up next, we have Christmas. So Merry Christmas to you and to your families. Happy holidays to those who celebrate something maybe a little bit different than Christmas. We're glad that you are here. And we are going to continue to cover the news as it happens on 97.1 throughout this holiday season. I have to say that watching a little bit of the news over the weekend and then also consuming what people were covering en masse today, there are not a lot of things that developed over the holiday weekend. It was a calm and collected holiday break for the most part. But unfortunately, we did go into that the holiday in and of itself with the really devastating shooting of those two National Guardsmen in Washington, D.C. Two people serving their country from West Virginia, stationed in Washington, D.C., out doing their job, gunned down by a madman. We've heard this story before. We've seen this story play out before. And it doesn't get easier to consume the story. It doesn't get simpler to understand it. But we do have a picture now of who this shooter was. And there are a lot of questions. The more we know about it, the more questions that we end up having about it. And the more we end up looking at somebody like this individual who they have in custody, we have to start asking ourselves a little bit more about who's in our country and why are they in our country. And the president certainly is doing that. He is cracking down on if you look at the amount of people, I think it's like 20 million people who have been let into our country during the Biden administration. When you think about the intent of why they were let into our country, when you think about the vetting that took place or did not take place with these individuals who are coming into our country, you have to start asking questions. And it does. I'm noticing in my own circles, people who, you know, the Staunton case that we had with the restaurant owner, the restaurant manager there, who, you know, the initial story came out and said, and the initial story was basically that he was in the middle of hugging his child while he was dropping his child off at school, and he was snatched up by the authorities. And as soon as he was snatched up by authorities, everybody came to rallied to his support because he was an upstanding member of the community. None of these reports, none of them, indicated what his legal status was. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I feel as though if that would have been an initial part of the report, that he was here, that he overstayed a visa, that he attempted to get his green card or whatever it might be, if that would have been a leading detail in the story, you probably would garner more sympathy from people to understand his actual story, the truth of the matter. But those types of details are always left out. Truth is the greatest disinfectant for a situation that we're facing in our country right now, and that is the unknown of who is here and why they are here, and if they have the best interest of America in their heart and in their mind and in their actions. I actually think that the temperature of the American people, when it comes to permitting people to stay, forcing people to go, I understand that the majority of the people listening to this station right now probably are very in support of President Trump's deportation plans and his immigration policies. But I actually think that the heart of this country is a bit softer than the Democrats are forcing our hand to have. We don't know who's here. We don't know how they got here. And there's no way to go back and really assess the situation because the Biden administration kicked the doors down and said, come on in, we're not even looking. It wasn't even the back door, it was the front door. Listen to President Trump here as he's talking about the asylum pause that relates to what took place on Wednesday.
The administration made a lot of moves throughout the last few days after we know that Afghan national is the suspected shooter of these National Guardsmen.
People that shouldn't be in our country this way.
So you announced that asylum.
And that includes Somalians and includes plenty of others.
How long does your administration plan to pause asylum into the U.S.?
I think a long time.
Can you give any kind
of time?
We
don't want those people. We have enough problems. We don't want those people.
Is that a year, 2 years?
No time limit.
And then
it could be a long time.
You said that.
We don't want those people. Do you understand that?
I understand.
Do you understand that?
I understand.
So President Trump is speaking on Air Force One there about the asylum status that has been granted to many people. He throws out there the Somalis. I know a lot of people think, oh, if you think Donald Trump and immigration status, you're thinking, you know, at the most basic level, you're thinking Mexicans who have come north across the border. But the truth is that most people use Mexico, obviously, as the catalyst to get to the United States. And in doing so, while they come through Mexico, they don't necessarily come from Mexico. We don't have a real understanding. The people who have been permitted to come into this country, we don't have a complete understanding of who they are and why they are here. And that is a real problem. It is something that needs to be addressed. And it's also something that is going to look messy in the process, because while that is happening, while we are going through and sifting through and ensuring that the people who have come here want America's best interests and to be a part of something that is great, that is American, we're going to have to go through what the Biden administration, the mess the Biden administration made, and clean it up. And it's going to get ugly.
Well, we know that when Joe Biden left the White House, he left us with a 1.5 million case backlog in asylum claims. And individuals are required under law and under policy to check in every single year when they have asylum in this country, and that wasn't being done. These individuals that were brought in and then vetted on information that was gathered by the Biden administration that wasn't thorough. And so now we're completely changing that since President Trump has been in the White House and since I've been at DHS. We're using biometric information. We're using those social media platforms and looking at what they're saying and doing, and making sure that we have a government, when a country is sending us someone, we have a government that is stable in that country that can actually share information with us. How do we vet someone that comes from Afghanistan or Somalia or Yemen if they don't have a government that we can communicate with that will share information with us? And so that is one of the prerogatives and one of the priorities that we're putting on these countries if they want to continue to send us people that want to claim asylum.
DHS Secretary Noem there speaking about the people who have come here, and also being able to partner with countries if we want information on people who have been sent here, people who have come here, people who have escaped to here. We need to be, if these people are flooding, if they're seeking asylum here, we need to know that there is a background that isn't dangerous that's going to come with them. It's simple vetting. It's not to say that nobody can get here at all, but we do have to know what the plan is. We have to know that a plan is being followed. And this administration has been willing to do the difficult things throughout the course of their policy making, their policy implementation. The people they've appointed are tough people who are willing to do the tough things to get the situation right. I always have to remind myself that there are so much, you know, in order to stop, you know, digging your hole deeper, you got to put the shovel down, that kind of a situation. We have to get the country right. We have to fix the problems that have been created here. And that's the problem. You know, let's identify what the problem is. The problem isn't that there are immigrants here. The problem is not that there are asylees here or refugees in the United States. That's not the problem. The problem is that the reason why some of these people have been left in our country in an unvetted capacity is because the Democrats saw a political opportunity and they seized it. They worked very, very hard to make the mess so big that we probably never would be able to clean up the whole thing. Here's the let's listen to this clip here from Fox News.
No, this could absolutely grow, Dana. This is evolving, especially as we do some real analysis on this. But I do think it's incredibly important for viewers to know what the prior administration was doing when it comes to vetting, especially when it came to this Operation Allies Welcome. This vetting was paper thin. They weren't doing biometric vetting. They weren't really doing criminal vetting, criminal screening, cyber screening, financial crimes. They weren't cross-referencing. They weren't looking at social media. So President Trump and Secretary Noem have completely overhauled this process to make sure we're diving in deep and seeing who are the people who are actually entering this country. As your past guests have said, almost 200,000 Afghan nationals entering this country, many of which were military-aged men. The fact of the matter is the Biden administration didn't know who was coming into our country, causing a huge national security crisis. And that's exactly what we saw the other day with this terrorist attack and then this near terrorist attack out of Fort Worth, Texas, where this individual was threatening to blow up a building. Both of these individuals being Afghan nationals, both of them coming in under this Biden administration program.
So when you hear what they're saying and you listen to the knowledge of the lack of knowledge, which is really what this administration is pulling out of this moment in time, the fact that we are so unaware of how many of these people have made their way into the country, it's a huge, huge problem. And it's one that has to be addressed. And it's not going to look comfortable. This isn't going to be a good thing because it hasn't been a good thing. The difference is that it was behind the curtain before. President Trump is pulling the curtain back now so that we can see how deep these problems are, how deeply rooted they are in our own communities. You know, you can pay attention to where governments, the federal government, can locate and plant these refugees. I mean, that's really how the Somali community became such a stronghold in Michigan, is where these people were relocated to. They're put in positions where they don't have to assimilate into American culture. They've been put into communities where they can plant their own culture. And if it becomes diametrically opposed to American culture, then you have a conflict. And it has a conflict that needs to be resolved in one way or another. And when you have to resolve a conflict on American soil with people who don't necessarily abide by American law or believe in American law, they've got Sharia law that is potentially implemented, you've got a real problem. And the tragedy of all of this is that the problem is dangerously taking root in our country in ways that may not be able to be reeled back. Just ask the family of the National Guardsman who passed away on Thanksgiving Day. We have to be willing to get to the bottom of it. It's going to take some thick skin to do it. If there are people who belong in this country because we are the place for asylum for them, and it makes sense and they want what's best for themselves along with what's best for the United States of America, if that's in simpatico and they are here above board legally, then we can continue to be a country who welcomes those people. But if anybody doesn't have the best interests of this country at heart, they need to go. And we need a leader who's willing to go seek them out and find them. And I think we've got that guy. the YouTube live chat poll for today. Do you support President Trump's immigration plan? Yes. Yes, but he's taking it too far. Or no, you don't support it. Go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and vote. Let's take a quick break. Find out what's going on in Capitol Hill with Ryan Schmelz when we come back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I've long thought that the Republicans had to make a choice. Do you try to fix a broken Obamacare, which is just, it was wrong. And look, when the Democrats had the House and Senate and the presidency, they didn't fix it. They couldn't fix it because it was fundamentally flawed. Or should Republicans come up with their own plan, a proactive plan, something that resonates with the American people, that make difference in their lives, give people choice, allow portability, allow people to buy into systems across state lines. There are expose the costs of healthcare. Those are the types of things. But, you know, the timeline's short. We got a very short amount of time and it's the holidays. So they got to put a hustle on it. But it affects every American. This is their pocketbook. It's affordability, and the costs are rising exponentially, and they can't handle it. And the Republicans need to offer a plan.
So Jason Chaffetz, former member of the House, they're talking about the importance of getting down to business when it comes to finding some sort of solution for Americans who are dealing with unaffordable care. The Unaffordable Care Act, not doing so hot, and Democrats are really mad at it. It's weird because it's their plan, of course, from Barack Obama, Obamacare originally. Let's talk to Ryan Schmelz, who's going to give us a little bit of an update on what's been on the docket there for members of Congress. Ryan, welcome back. Happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas. Great to have you with us.
Happy Thanksgiving, Annie. How are you?
Doing okay. Had a good holiday. So is everybody back on the Hill now? Is everybody back and getting appropriation bills passed? What are we doing on the House, in the House and the Senate?
The expectation is they'll be back tonight, and then they'll start voting this week on a number of different bills, whether they're going to get any appropriations bills done. Not quite sure on that just yet. But yes, there is this question of what's going to happen with healthcare. The idea is that between now and sometime towards the end of the month, there will be a vote on the Affordable Care Act tax credits and extending that program, which was a promise that Leader Thune made to Senate Democrats in order to end the government shutdown. Now, what plan Democrats are going to put on the floor, we still don't know what that plan is going to look like.
So they negotiated in order to open the government back up. Okay, this is what we're going to do. And when they said that they would take a vote on it, I was thinking that's very unlikely that Republicans are going to vote for this. So, OK, we'll take a vote on it. It won't pass. Is there any discussion right now that's taking place on Capitol Hill that maybe they will extend those subsidies for a little bit of time?
So there is a bipartisan bill between both Republicans and Democrats that would extend the program for 2 years. And it also includes a number of the reforms that Republicans have been pushing for, like the income caps and some of the other aspects there. But Whether or not that bill has the votes to pass, we don't know. You know, President Trump has been open about some type of extension, but, you know, he's gotten some pushback within Republican circles about whatever plan they're going to put on the table, because there are just some Republicans who want this program to expire or to get rid of the Obamacare tax credits altogether. So it's kind of a unique spot for Republicans to be in, where you've got some more moderate members who are open to an extension, but then you've got some more conservative members who want the program to go away altogether. But in the end, the reality is, if they're going to agree to any type of extension, I think Republicans are unified around the thought of there needing to be significant reforms to the ACA tax credits.
Are there Democrats who think that the whole thing needs to be scrapped? Is the Democrat line, party line right now, that the Affordable Care Act is the right way to do health care? It just needs, what, more government subsidy thrown at it to continue on down this path?
I mean, when you talk to Democrats about this, I think there's some who will say that they're open to, you know, what they want in terms of changing Obamacare, making reforms to Obamacare so that you don't need subsidies to prop it up and make it more affordable. But, you know, in terms of specifics, we haven't really gotten to the bottom of what those specifics are. And also keep in mind that now that the program is only a couple of weeks away from expiring, I think Democrats' mindset is that you've got to extend this now, or you've got millions of people who are going to see their health insurance premiums skyrocket.
So Ryan Schmelz speaking with us right now, Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill and White House correspondent on X at Ryan Schmelz Fox. I guess elections come fast, especially in the House. If you have to get elected every 2 years, you get a year to legislate and a year to campaign to try to do another year of legislating, I suppose. But it's not brand new information that healthcare in this country isn't really great. At least the way that the Affordable Care Act revamped things, Republicans have problems with it. Obviously, Democrats have problems with it, too. Has there been a push until the Democrats shut down the government? Has it been a main topic of conversation on Capitol Hill that we need a better health care insurance situation for American citizens?
I think it's been talked about, but whether or not a full-on plan that would fix the problems has been proposed, I mean, nothing that's been seriously considered this Congress. You know, you had the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, where there were a number of different reforms to Medicaid, reforms to the SNAP program, especially the Medicaid program. You saw the work requirements get put in there, and some other reforms to the Medicaid program. But in terms of a hard line plan to either repeal or replace Obamacare or a massive healthcare overhaul, we haven't seen that proposed yet. And you remember, this is one of the reasons why Marjorie Taylor Greene's relationship with the Republicans in Congress started to sour, is because she was critical of House Republicans for not having a plan on healthcare. Now, Speaker Johnson said that the relevant committees that are in charge of that do have a plan, and that she can meet with them anytime and talk to them about what they're going to be proposing and what could be on the table. But, you know, in terms of a vote on something that would overhaul the system and make a full change to what we've been dealing with over the last decade or so, we haven't seen that just yet.
Ryan, I'm glad you brought up Marjorie Taylor Greene. I don't think you and I have spoken since she made her announcement that just after the new year, she's going to be resigning her position there. I do think it's worthy of note that it's just a couple days after her pension is fully set in. I also saw some reports that said, like, the pension is maybe, off the top of my head, like $8,000 a year or something like that. The amount of money that she'll be taking in a pension isn't some astronomical amount of money windfall that she's going to get. But I have to think that's incredibly detrimental to the Republican majority in the House of Representatives. Can you talk to us a little bit about, when she resigns, what that's going to look like for the Republicans, who are going to need every single vote to get the job done?
Right. So as it stands right now, Republicans can lose about 2 votes on any given piece of legislation and be able to pass it if they have the rest of the party voting for it, and it's a party line vote. If Marjorie Taylor Greene resigns, that's going to make things a little bit more difficult. That's why you're seeing so much press attention on the Tennessee special election right now to replace Mark Green, who was the Homeland Security chairman. Because if Democrats were able to pull off an upset in that race, there's going to be a point next Congress where Republicans probably can't afford to lose a single vote on any legislation. So that creates a huge math problem for House Speaker Mike Johnson and President Trump. Now, if Republicans are able to hold on in that seat, and they're supposed to, consider the fact that President Trump won it by over 20 points, then they're going to be able to have some wiggle room after Marjorie Taylor Greene retires on January 5th until a special election can happen to fill her seat. Now, keep in mind, there's also two vacancies on the Democrat side to replace Sylvester Turner from Texas, who died while he was in office, and also to replace Mikey Sherrill, who left to become the governor of New Jersey. So Republicans need as many votes as they can right now. So if they were to lose the Tennessee special election, this in many ways could probably create a nightmare for Speaker Johnson and President Trump.
So, you know, Ryan, I heard you say at one point, if Marjorie Taylor Greene resigns, is there any question that she could maybe postpone that resignation, or is it pretty much a done deal?
I think it is possible she could, but I haven't heard any indication that she's going to do that. It seems like she's pretty dead set on retiring on January 5th and leaving office.
What is the substance behind her reason to step down? She was such a fighter. She was, you know, there wasn't a fight she was willing to back down from. And she was obviously a huge advocate for Donald Trump. That relationship seems to have gone south. But was there a straw that broke the camel's back in the MTG situation to make her say, fine, I quit?
What it seems like it was, based off of her statement, was the ending of her relationship with President Trump that started to unravel. And then President Trump was starting to talk about a primary opponent for Marjorie Taylor Greene. She was saying that if that was to happen, that it was going to create a very toxic primary that she didn't want to put her district through and didn't want to put her family through. So based off of that, that's what it seems like was the main reason for why she wanted to leave office. She also pointed to the fact that this was going to be an election year, and she feels like nothing really gets done in election years when it comes to Congress. Everyone kind of stays safe and kind of wants to worry about the election and not about legislating. And she just had a lot of issues with that. So if you go off of what she has said, those are the reasons she has given for why she's retiring. But yes, you can't ignore the fact that her relationship with President Trump went so south, and it went south so quickly.
Yeah. And, you know, we're speaking with Ryan Schmelz right now, who is the Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. There's a lot of talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene, about Donald Trump. I don't hear a lot of talk about the constituents in Georgia's 14th congressional district. Are they going to be left without a representative vote? How does that handle? How quickly would that seat get filled? And would it likely be Republican, or like Tennessee, are people going to go, ooh, well, maybe we could steal one for the blue side?
Well, I'm sure Democrats won't rule that option out, especially if the polling data comes back very strong for them. If Republicans pick a bad candidate and Democrats pick a good candidate, you know, you never know when it's an off-year election cycle. But this is going to be a decision made by Brian Kemp, the governor of Georgia. He's got to issue a special election. And considering the fact that Brian Kemp is a Republican, you could probably expect him to get the ball rolling on this as quickly as possible. Now, keep in mind, they have to go by state laws. It's not just like Brian Kemp can snap his fingers and, you know, oh, in 2 weeks we have a special election. There are certain laws that they have to follow when it comes to special elections. But yes, to answer your question, for the time being, Marjorie Taylor Greene's district will not have representation, at least for maybe a couple months.
Yeah. Ugh, so complicated and frustrating for a lot of people who are trying to watch the president, who was elected with a pretty strong mandate. I think a lot of people would argue, he certainly would, that getting the job done, the America First agenda accomplished, is going to be much more difficult now. Ryan, before we let you go, what are the other areas that people may not be, you know, everyone's paying attention to the Marjorie Taylor Greene story and the you know, salacious headlines that go with that. What else do people need to know about Capitol Hill? What's taking place right now as we move into the holiday season?
Well, you got to remember the next funding deadline is going to be January 30th. Republicans and Democrats are trying to pass 12 individual spending bills to fund the government, which we call appropriations bills. They've got three of those done so far. So if we were to hit a government shutdown in January, you would not have to worry about SNAP benefits being impacted. You would not have to worry about the Department of Veterans Affairs being impacted. But other agencies like the military and all that still face the same threats that they did during the last government shutdown. But the more appropriations bills they get done, whether it be the defense bill or some of the other bills like that, Department of Transportation, you name it, the more they get done, the less of an impact the government shutdown is going to have on January 30th.
All right. Well, Ryan Schmelz, you're always the man with the info, and we appreciate your time here on the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Annie.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right, let's take a quick break. The YouTube live chat poll for today. Do you support President Trump's immigration plan? Yes. Yes, but he's taking it too far. Or no, we don't. Let's talk about it a little bit when we come back. Here on the Annie Fry Show, a snowy, holy smokes, it looks like a Hallmark movie outside, only this snow is real. You ever seen Hallmark movie snow? This is what it looks like. It's very beautiful if you're inside. If you're outside, get inside. That's my only weather advice. We'll be right back. Don't go away. This is the kind of music to listen to when you watch snow like this.
Is it now?
Yeah, that's some hardcore snow out there.
Chris Stapleton, specifically this song, it doesn't really matter what's going on. It works. It just works, okay?
He's the best. He's the best. I love Chris Stapleton. Welcome back. It is a snowy Monday. And a snowy Monday after a long break, Thanksgiving break, it's kind of like, why am I here? Which is apparently what everybody else at work here said today, and they didn't come in. It's kind of like a holiday here, once again.
Yeah, Ryan Wiggins, surprise, surprise.
Taking
time off.
Yeah. He couldn't make it through the snow.
Is that what it was?
I don't know.
No, I know what happened. There's a 50-50 chance he was here this morning and then went out to get lunch, and that's when he got stranded.
And it's downstairs at KFC. He's like, I don't know what to do, guys. The stuff's too scary. The YouTube live chat poll for today, do you support President Trump's immigration plan? Yes. Yes, but he's taking it too far. No. Do you have an opinion on this at all, Ethan? I know that you like pay attention to some things. You're forced to consume bits and pieces of others based on how many hours? You do 6 hours of show every day?
Something like that.
At 97.1? Seems like 12.
Yeah. It certainly does.
Easy.
It's mostly the second half.
Okay. I'm sure that's what you tell him. You're like, man, my job sucks until 3.
Sometimes working with 2 shows, I imagine, is a much, better version of, having divorced parents where you kind of just got to work between the two.
Ethan is the associate producer for the Annie Fry Show here from noon to 3 and then for the Mark Reardon Show from 3 to 6. I would have to say, I think I would bring, if Mark Reardon is here, he can come in and join this conversation.
He's not here yet.
Okay. I was going to say, that's why I invited him. I think we co-parent very nicely.
You do. Most of the time.
Well, I feel like I do. So
sometimes,
I can't speak for Mark.
Sometimes there's a little bit of like, both of you have
the 2 o'clock hour.
My limbs and you're kind of each pulling like, no, I want him. No, I want him.
I've never fought Mark Reardon.
Not literally. That's just how I feel.
You shouldn't. Unless Mark is amping it up and I need to meet the moment.
No, sometimes Mark Reardon just acts like Mark Reardon. And when you're not there, it's like, hey, where are you? To put it politely.
Well, we're glad that you're in here as Ryan has got a couple days off and appreciate you. But going back to the YouTube poll, I know that you're not like spending your whole Thanksgiving break trying to find the latest development on Donald Trump's opinion on asylum seekers.
This is correct.
You are like most people.
So you're going to have to update me like you would most people.
Well, I mean, President Trump is saying, I'm maybe going to pop this up here right now. President Trump is saying, and aggressively so, that if you're not here legally, if you've come here and you haven't been vetted, a lot of people, specifically in the Afghanistan withdrawal that went so incredibly poorly, a lot of people came here and they were here unvetted. It was like, oh, they're fine. It's like a bouncer at the door who like knows people and is letting people in that are 3 degrees of separation from someone who they know who's good. Like, oh, they're good. Oh, they're with Joe Bob. They're all good. And it turns out maybe they're not.
Here's the hard part about this, is trying to figure out what exactly the line is. How realistic is it? I mean, we don't know truly how many illegal aliens are currently residing in the United States. Attached with that, though, it's a number that's greater than what President Trump is ever going to be able to deport. That is true. And I don't know how long it would take to be able to successfully deport all illegal immigrants. The problem, right, with that is that at some point, are you willing to accept that that is the case? And if so, Where do you compromise? But if you compromise to a certain extent, you're saying, hey, it's okay to do this. And I understand why they wouldn't want to. That's why it feels like, to a certain extent, it's a catch-22 if you're the one that's the face of all of this. If you go back on your word and say, well, we're going to let some of you stay now.
Yeah. Well, let's play Carolyn Leavitt here from the White House. She's speaking live. This is just from a few moments ago.
Host the presidents of the Republic of Rwanda and the Democratic Republic of Congo to sign the historic peace and economic agreement that he brokered. On Thursday night, the president and the first lady will celebrate one of America's greatest traditions, the lighting of the national Christmas tree on the ellipse. And on Friday, President Trump will attend the FIFA World Cup final draw at the Kennedy Center. You all will be seeing and hearing from the president every day this week. So you have me today, and then he will take on the rest of the week himself. Next, I would like to address the horrific tragedy that took place in our nation's capital that last week. A foreign terrorist that the Biden administration failed to properly vet ambushed two members of the West Virginia National Guard who were honorably serving here to keep their residents and visitors of Washington, D.C. safe. U.S. Air Force Staff Sergeant Andrew Wolf was severely wounded in the attack and remains hospitalized while he continues to fight for his life. Tragically, U.S. Army Specialist Sarah Beckstrom died of her wounds. She was just 20 years old. President Trump and the entire White House are praying for Andrew's full recovery at the request of his parents and their personal phone call with the president over the weekend. And we are keeping Sarah's family and friends in our prayers during this unimaginably difficult time. Sarah and Andrew represent the very best of America, two young patriots who were willing to put on the uniform and risk their lives in defense of their fellow Americans. Both of them truly embody the profound words spoken by Jesus Christ in the gospel. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Sarah and Andrew are heroes, and we will never forget their sacrifice. That means ensuring the monster responsible for this atrocity is prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law and faces the most severe punishment possible. It also means reckoning with why this atrocity was allowed to happen in the first place, so that it may never occur again. Here are the facts. The terrorist who gunned down American soldiers blocks away from the White House in an ambush was an Afghan national who was flown into our country by Joe Biden's administration in September 2021 in the chaotic wake of their botched withdrawal from Afghanistan. One of the most embarrassing moments in the history of our great country. Joe Biden's historic failure in Afghanistan continues to haunt this country and our men and women in uniform. Not only did this surrender lead to a suicide bombing that killed 13 American heroes in Kabul, but now National Guard troops were shot on U.S. soil by the same kind of enemy. We continue to live with the deadly consequences of Joe Biden's horrific leadership. Nearly 100,000 Afghans were recklessly released into the United States with little to no vetting. There was no regard for the disorder and violence that this would unleash on American communities and American culture. Reportedly, thousands of these strangers and unknown individuals were flagged to the Biden administration for national security, public safety, and fraud concerns. But the terrifying truth is that the Afghanistan debacle is just a small part of Democrats' complete and total betrayal of the American people during the Biden years. The tragedy that we just witnessed the day before Thanksgiving is a reminder that untold thousands of terrorists, gang members, and criminals were invited into our country and remain here to this very day. The border is now secure, thanks to President Trump, but the threat in our interior remains real and urgent. These public safety threats are already inside our land. And President Trump was elected on a promise to find and remove them. And he has already taken significant steps and made significant progress towards fulfilling this promise. But there is more work to be done because President Trump believes that he has a sacred obligation to reverse the calamity of mass, unchecked migration into our country. As a result, the Trump administration is now actively reexamining all of the Afghans imported into the country by Joe Biden. Any individual who threatens our national security or our citizenry will be subject to removal. President Trump has already permanently paused migration of foreign nationals from third world countries that pose a very high risk to the United States. For too long, past American presidents supported self-destructive immigration policies that allowed foreigners who outright hate our country and have no interest in assimilating into our culture. They've allowed these individuals to flood peaceful American communities. This disastrous approach has drained our welfare program, driven up the cost of housing, suppressed wages, and jeopardized the safety of law-abiding American citizens. In fact, according to a new bombshell report from the New York Times, Somalian migrants in Minnesota have defrauded nearly $1 billion in taxpayer-funded benefits under Democrat Governor Waltz's leadership. President Trump is putting an end to this dangerous America Last approach. His position is rooted in common sense. In the wake of last week's atrocity, it is more important than ever to finish carrying out the president's mass deportation operation. America cannot allow millions upon millions of unvetted illegal aliens to be rewarded with amnesty after they broke our nation's laws to come here. They must go back to their home countries. It is also essential to immediately address the massive fraud and corruption that has been going on for decades in other aspects of our immigration system, most notably when it comes to asylum claims. Millions of people who have come here under false pretenses are told blatant lies now enjoy temporary legal status. President Trump is ending this scam as well, and I would point out that the Democrats have tried to block this administration from doing so at every turn with lawsuit after lawsuit.
So there you have Carolyn Leavitt from the White House really laying out what we're asking you on the poll question today. Do you support President Trump's immigration plan? Yes. Yes, but he's taking it too far. No. Closing the border, big deal. Finding and seeking out violent illegal immigrants who are here, big deal. But there are a lot more layers to this, and we'll get to the bottom of it throughout the course of the show and get to the different types of things that he is implementing, including with Mark Krikorian at 1:30. We're going to take a quick break. We want to do Wiggins America a little bit later because we're not going to have a whole lot of time when we come back.
Yes. Okay. Let's punt it.
Punt.
70 yards.
Does Ryan Wiggins punt Wiggins America every day?
I don't know what he does. He tries to punt and he whiffs.
And everybody loves it.
Charlie Brown kicks it. That's Charlie, what he does.
Yeah, okay, here I am, Lucy. All right, let's take a quick break.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Break. We'll be right back. I'm back. I'm currently trying to call my parents. Mom and Dad, if you're listening to the show right now, answer your phone.
How about you give me the phone and you let me handle this?
I can't have you make phone calls to get my kids from an early dismissal.
Not with that attitude, you can't.
I've got kids at three different schools, four different locations today because Molly doesn't go to preschool right now. This is a lot. The snow is coming down like crazy.
It is snowing pretty hard.
Do you want an early dismissal from work?
It's pretty picturesque. Honestly, you know, I've been talking to some friends right now. The maps are telling my friend. I mean, these are
30,
45-minute drives normally, and they're hour 50, 2 hours, 2.5 hours because the roads are so bad. But so I think that waiting it out is going to actually be the right play.
Mom, I'm calling you. Charlie needs a ride home from school. She can answer.
This is groundbreaking.
I think this might be illegal to put her on the air without. I won't put her on the air if she answers the phone.
It's all a skit.
Here, what if I just do this? I'm on the radio. Can someone please go get Charlie? Can somebody please?
I'm surprised you haven't asked me yet.
It would take you too long to get there.
This is a good point.
If Ryan were here today, I might say, I have to go collect my kids. It's like an Easter egg
hunt.
If
Ryan was here, he would be up on
the roof. That's true.
Doing a weather report
from the
on
weather
this.
Center.
Probably accusing this of being chemtrails.
We visit the weather center like once a year.
Yep.
And it's usually the first.
That was one of my favorite days
snow.
Of the year last year.
Let me call my
we went up quick. On the roof. Ryan found a fur coat somewhere. I don't know where.
No, I bought him for that. He didn't find that. Brad and I gave that to him.
You paid for that?
Heck yeah, $40, but we split it.
It was worth it.
And now it just sits in his office until he needs it once a year?
For the weather center. Dad, answer your phone.
So Ryan goes up on the roof and with your curling iron, or is that, that's a straightener. It's a straightener.
I think before he's had a curling iron.
Last year, that's what he used.
He used a microphone one time, and he just stuck the cord in his pocket. It's really funny. I'll find.
Oh,
he
definitely didn't use that last year. And he goes up on the roof, and he tells you that it's snowing, and that's basically what the weather report
wasn't
is.
Wasn't it like sideways sleeting too last year when I don't know.
I think it was.
Because I can remember it like ticking against
the
phone.
Yes, I remember
and
that.
He's like, it sucks.
Oh, it was not good. It was pretty crappy weather.
I'm looking at Life360 and my dad's phone is dead. No sugar, Sherlock.
It's dead?
Well, it says that it's
that is
red
the
battery.
Most, you know, well, with all due respect to Mr. Fry. Wait, what's his last name?
No, we're going to talk about his last name.
Okay, fine. That's fine. With all due respect, Mr. Fry's maiden name. Yeah. With all due respect, that is the most old person thing ever.
What?
To be it is 12:56. Charge your phone. Come on. Be better.
Or just answer it. Just go get Charlie from school. Somebody text me.
Well, here's the good thing. You're going to have about, 6 minutes here to go ahead and try and figure this out.
I'm just going to run and go get Charlie.
But on the other
quick.
Side, Steve Moore's going to be here.
Yeah, Steve Moore's going to tell us about the economy. I'm going to ask Steve Moore if he'll go get Charlie if I can't get somebody for it in time. Go vote in the YouTube live chat poll. We'll do the Wiggins America in the 1 o'clock hour. Do you support President Trump's immigration plan? Yes, yes, but he's taking it too far, or no. Let us know what you think.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season. from Crimes of the Paranormal, Unsolved Murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.